This is a presentation from the Supernaut Network.
Welcome to the Imaginarium, the show where art and passions for creativity intersect and combine for a conversation that can only be found in the Imaginarium. I'm your host, Scott Colbert, and this week I have two special guests, my two co-hosts from the Supernauts. You know them, you love them. First, let's welcome the Mouth from the South and the Inventor of the Swirl, Ronnie James Dio. Welcome, Dio.
Hey, thanks for having me, Scott.
We also have the smooth silk stylings of the other Supernauts co-founder, the host and scorekeeper, and he's the one who puts the fix in for the last word, Slate Fist Crunch.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks, Scott.
Hey, Slate.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, it's almost like a Supernaut, except not nearly as exciting. I think the first thing I want to ask, and it's probably in the minds of most listeners everywhere, what the hell is a Supernaut exactly? Slate?
I have no idea. I asked Dio to come up with a name. I think I threw out probably about 20 names. I don't know how Supernauts came about. Dio, do you remember how Supernauts, the name, came about?
Yeah, I remember how Supernauts came about. I think it's a cool name. I wanted a name that was kind of mythic. I wanted something mythic, and I wanted it to kind of define us as a group without really defining us. You know, you take a name that doesn't mean anything, like Star Wars. That's kind of a stupid name, but once you see it in the movie, it means something to you now. But I mean, before you saw the movie, or if you've never seen the movie, it's kind of a dumb name, doesn't really matter. It's very difficult to find a name that doesn't have a preconceived notion or meaning, but then define it, give it a definite definition of the group that we were. And then you go into the whole story of Googling names, and there's not that much out there that's not already out there. So you think of 20 cool names like Slate did, and you put them in Google, and damn, somebody already has them. I kind of liked the idea of the non already defined definition of the word, and I just liked the way it kind of rang, and I thought, hey, how about this, guys? I wasn't married to it, but I threw it out there, and you guys jumped on it, and off we went.
Who came up with the idea for the Supernauts originally? And wasn't it you, Dio?
Slate, do you remember back that far? That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. We used to hang out at that website. I can't remember the name. And it came up in one of the comments. Was it in the dojo, or was it on a show or a post page?
Don't know who this man is, but his moniker, he went by the name Fact. And he had done a couple articles, and they were they Geeks of the Round Table, Abe?
Yeah.
It's called Geeks of the Round Table, and we thought that was a good idea. And I emailed him about 5 times saying, hey, I like your idea. Here's 5 ways to make it better. He's going to have me on a couple times, and after I emailed him, told him how to make it better, I never heard from him again. So I don't know if he just quit posting or if that offended him or whatever or whatnot, but we were talking about it. We even talked to Dan about it from the Shut Up Kids, and he actually remembers the conversation from well over a year ago. We were just spitballing things, and someone said, we ought to make a crossfire show with Osmov Lives and the Creepy Thin Man and blah, 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 blah. And I thought, no, we ought to make a debate show. And Abe kind of liked that idea, and then Talkbacker interest kind of waxed and waned, and we were real into that website, and then we were not that into that website. And I was real into it again. And then I was not that into it again. And then all of a sudden it disappeared and there was no website. So obviously there was nothing going on there. And I don't know how the conversation came up again, but
if I can jump in, it was Nerdbong. We started talking about it again at Nerdbong.
There you go. I forgot about I forgot about it at Nerdfong.
Yeah, we started. We brought it up again.
Take me away, Slate.
What is it? September? We started talking about it again over at Nerdfong.
Early September.
Yeah, and then I actually emailed you saying, we really got to do this. I think it's a good idea.
Slate's t-shirt will say, the universe is screaming at you.
That was what?
That was his email. Yep. He said, Dio, the universe is screaming at you. I never wanted to do the project, Scott. I never wanted to be a part of it. At that point, I was still afraid of podcasts. You know, it's like when you first jump in the deep end. You don't know you can swim. I just thought I had a really good idea. Slate gets all the credit in the world for pushing me to be a part of this thing and to help see it come together. Once we decided to do it, we got a couple ideas, and then we thought, well, we need a couple more people.
And that's when I got a message on Facebook from Dio saying, hey, Slate and I are going to record a podcast. Do you want to just jump in, test it out? And at that point, I was just, you know, going to jump in. I had no idea, no interest in really doing a podcast, although Dio and I had talked about something, not doing it together, but just my doing one. And it just seemed like a whole lot of work. And as we found out, it is a whole lot of work. But I jumped in. We recorded that first episode. It worked. The three of us, you know, after that first one we recorded, I mean, it was really, I thought it was magic. You know, rough around the edges, but it all seemed to gel together. Somehow I ended up inviting myself to be a part of it, and I guess the rest of that's history. So, which leads me to ask, Slate, are you surprised by the success of the Supernauts?
Am I surprised by it? I wouldn't call us a I wouldn't call us a success yet. We're on our way. I wouldn't say we're a success yet. I'm not ready to say, oh yeah, we've arrived. It's time to rest on our laurels. I'm happy with the way we're going.
What about you, Dio?
I'll be a little egotistical, and I won't speak specifically about a show. But when I sat down with Slate and we talked about this, we had kind of a 6-month outline. That 6-month outline has been busted through in 6 weeks. So I'm surprised at the success of the site. I think the show has a lot of room to grow, and we're just getting our sea legs under us, and there's a lot of good stuff coming up early next year and forward. But the success of the site, I was really excited getting Detective D drafted. D was the person that first asked me to be on a podcast. I did it because I was friends with D, not because I wanted to talk on a podcast, not because I wanted to be part of the James Bond podcast thing. I was already part of this James Bond week, this James Bond tournament that I had constructed and people were voting on, and it was a huge success and it drove people to that other site. And D was like, hey, let's talk about James Bond. If it had been anyone else except D, I probably wouldn't have done it, but he is one of my oldest friends on that site. And I said yes, and it was a lot of fun. I don't know if it was a great podcast, but it was a lot of fun. So it's like Dan from the Shut Up Kids said to all of us, you know, the first thing is do it for fun. So I did it for fun, and we had a good time. We didn't Google the name of the podcast before we started doing a few, so we kind of had to shut that thing down because somebody finally Googled the name of the podcast, and there was about 5 other podcasts named Zodcast. And then we recorded another one with the new name, and the site went black for 3 weeks. So there was no site. There was no cast. We didn't have a name, and that's about the time September rolled around, and we started thinking about this. We have this week that we had the 7 days of Supernauts, and we had everything lined up. We had a new show, The Imaginarium. We had a great episode with a great guest, Sasha Perlraver, and you know, 7 days of Supernauts are trucking along, and here's D-Day. Detective D is a Supernaut. We have this thing back-ended because we know we're going to announce I Am Better on Monday, which is the 7th day. And we're just thinking, well, this is such a great week. It's such a great success. And Slate emails me and he says, the Shut Up Kids have left Talkbacker. And we're sitting there looking at each other going, oh my God. Because the Shut Up Kids are a really good show. They would be like a number one draft choice if you want to put it across to sports. Is that semi-factual, Slate?
Yeah. Yeah. We were rolling along. We're happy to get D. Yeah. We were thrilled to get D because, you know, he was the first one. We knew we had I am better. And then, yeah, that happened all just in the span of, was it just 7 days?
7 days.
It was 7 days. Were you ever worried that with getting D and I am better, that people were going to start looking at us as another talkbacker?
No, I wasn't. We're not open submission. We're not the Reddit of entertainment sites. We're not, our gates are not open to everybody here. I was never worried about that.
What about you, Dio?
I don't think that's ever an option. And we encourage people to go to all the sites, you know, go to that little Shadow Dojo Willard runs. Go to Talkbacker or Ain't It Cool News if there's something interesting on there you want to read. And then come check out our stuff. I'm, you know, it's only been a few weeks, but I Am Better's Friday article is must-see TV.
It is.
It's you have to read that every Friday because it's just that good. D's trailer breakdown of Mad Max is the best article on a trailer I've ever seen. Now, I would say that if it was at Ain't It Cool News or at Cineblend or wherever. I mean, but I'm happy and I'm proud that it's at our site. I'm tickled to death about our guests, and I want Slate to talk about some of the people we've had on and how exciting some of our shows have been. Have you listened to the last couple Shut Up Kids shows? That's as good a podcast that's out there. And I don't care if you listen to Kevin Smith's podcast or Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast or some jerk from ESPN's podcast. Their last several shows are as good as any podcast on the internet. And I would recommend those shows to anybody.
Let me talk about the Shut Up Kids for just a minute, because they really deserve a whole lot of credit for my getting into podcasting. They did the Lords of the Talkbacker back in February of this year. I was fortunate enough to be on that along with Creepy Thin Man, English Rose, Chapa, and it went over so well, and I had so much fun that I wanted to do it again. And fortunately, that's when I started the John Waters articles over on Talkbacker.
Tuberculosis?
Every time I say TB, that's what I think of, is tuberculosis. I was on for the John Waters, then I was on again for David Cronenberg, and then the second Lords of the Talkbacker. But it wasn't very long after the Cronenberg that I got the message from Dio about doing the Supernauts. The Shut Up Kids have been really instrumental in a lot of things, and I think they're really a cornerstone of wherever they are. They've been able to get some absolutely fantastic guests like Sam and Alexander Rockwell and you name it. And I think they can only go up. You know, as much success as they've had so far, there's really no limit to what they can do. I'm tickled pink that they're on the network, even though I wasn't quite sure they were going to be a good fit. And I'll be honest about that. And, we've talked about it before we asked them to come on to the network. I just wasn't sure if it was the kind of a show that would fit in with everything else, but it's like a hand in a glove. Or as they would say on Shut Up Kids, since it's a little bit more crude, it's like a dick in an ass. It just fits. Well, maybe you wouldn't say that.
Know how to follow up with that. I remember when Slate sent me the message and I didn't know what to think. I thought there's no way they're leaving that website. They promoted that website. That website promoted them. They were fixtures in the comments. So one of the reasons I never cared for 50 podcasts on the old websites was because you never heard from these people. You never heard from some of those people. You didn't know who they were. They weren't commenting on other threads. Dan and Nick were always on other threads. They were always commenting on their thread. They were always commenting on other threads. They supported that site. You didn't get a lot of that from a couple of those other podcasts. So it's hard to be a fan of a show that talks about film when those people that do that show don't support the site that you're desperately trying to create something out of. I thought, much like Dan did, how can the guy that runs that website ever let that happen? he should move the moon and the stars to never let that happen. But once we turned Slate loose on recruiting them, I think that Dan said it took all of 2 hours. Real nice job, Slate.
Yeah. I can be very persuasive, apparently. It doesn't work at the bars. It works talking to other podcasts.
Just have to wait till they have a few extra drinks. Just go in around closing time when somebody's really lit. Okay, honey, it's time to go home. Come with me.
Dating advice with Dio.
You know, that's a good podcast.
It is.
Dating advice with Dio. It's not just coke and whores. But Slate, you're kind of the linchpin of the website. Not only do you do the co-hosting, or the moderation on Supernauts, but you also do the editing on every show. The website. You really take care of all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
And Godfather!
He's the Godfather, exactly. Everybody needs to know exactly how much you do and how much everybody appreciates the work and sweat and blood that you pour into the show each and every week. So a round of applause for Slate for being the one who keeps everything together.
Oh, thanks. I got nothing to say to that. So, okay.
Don't bleed, Slate. Don't bleed.
Yeah.
Sweat's fine.
Who've been some of the favorite guests that have been on the show for you, Slate?
I think one of my favorite guests really was Jordan. I've enjoyed swapping, you know, just shit-talking messages with Jordan, but to actually get him on the air was a lot of fun. And you guys all had a preset dynamic with Jordan. You knew him, so we just kind of really jumped into that show running. I really enjoyed that one.
What about you, Dio?
Man, that's just so hard to answer. I've liked every guest equally. Is that a bad answer?
You fucking diplomat.
You're pulling the deal.
All right, damn it. I'm a statistics guy, okay? My favorite guest. Oh. I mean, I could easily say, look, I could easily say Sasha. I've been commenting to her at Ain't It Cool News for 2 years. I could easily say I really, really enjoyed talking to Dan.
That was a lot of fun. Dan was a lot of fun, too.
Dan was a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll get Nick on soon. There are several people I can say, but I have to go with the statistics. Most listened to show is Batman Ruins Lives by A.R. Hicks. And, Hicks is, not your favorite, Scott, but he's my favorite because you never know what he's going to say next. And it's either going to be brilliant or it's going to be bullshit, but it's never something in between.
I think there's this misconception that I don't like, Hicks. And that's far from the truth. I really like Hicks. I just don't think any of his ideas are good. As a person, I really like him, and he brought something to the show that we hadn't had. There was a lot more energy and a lot more give and take with Hicks. And I think that was really one of our first shows that showed that. Of course, I guess my calling him an idiot probably didn't help. Hicks was a lot of fun. I really liked I liked Dan's episode a lot, and I think what I liked about it was because he was on video, and I could watch what he was doing, and you guys didn't have him on video. So I'm watching him sip his coffee, and then he's trotting out some of these things, and he's running back and forth. And it was really – that added an element to the show on my end that really made it really enjoyable. And that rant he had at the end I think is probably one of the best rants that we had.
Yeah, you're talking about the Master Chef.
Dan McGuffey.
Yeah, he was good too. I liked Dan number one too. I liked the last episode was really
the last episode with Dan from Shut Up Kids. I think maybe our best episode.
That was good. It was a really good one.
Everybody was really loose. Everybody was just kind of having a good time and just really shooting the shit. It was more informal than what our other shows have been. And I thought that, you know, Dan is just a fantastic guest and he's a fantastic host. How he's not doing something beyond podcasts is beyond me. And
let's hope he doesn't get hired by CBS or something.
Well, if he does, then he can drag us along with him. Make it a package deal. And Wade, my other favorite episode was Wade, just because I have such an affection for him as a person.
We know.
Not in that way. Just he's a really, really...
Come on, Scott, in that way.
Maybe if I was 25 years younger. But I thought he was a whole lot of fun.
We will return to your scheduled programming shortly, or we are currently experiencing technical difficulties.
What's coming up next year for Supernauts? What can we expect?
I think Sasha Pearl Raver's coming back. I think you can expect to hear the Breakfast on Planet X fellows sometime. We're still trying to get Billy on from This Is Infamous. Still trying to schedule a time with him. That's about it.
There are rumors. Yeah, there are rumors of an original talkbacker from the old test days. Cannot confirm or deny this person's identity at this time, but they are an old school talkbacker that everyone will remember, and some will not want to remember. So there are tons of people that have said, yes, please let us come on your show. It's going to be a lot of fun at this point, and we've ran into a little bit of it in December. The toughest part, scheduling people.
You know, I thought when we first started, it would be biggest challenge would be getting guests. Now it seems to be the biggest challenge is trying to schedule everybody who wants to be on. What a problem to have, though.
I think we had a lot of good guests in 2014. I think we're going to have a lot of good guests in 2015.
Dio, the symposium is probably one of the most unique things that I've heard on a podcast or any podcast since I started listening to them years and years ago. What gave you the idea for the symposium?
Okay, the symposium, and the reason me and Slate are on the symposium and we're white, number one reason Slate is on is because Slate is a great host. Slate understands people, and he understands the ebb and flow of what I want from a show. Don't know if he can do it with other shows, but from my perspective, he is everything I want in a host. He knows when to jump in. He knows when to move us along. And he has a sharp wit, and he doesn't comment often, but when he does, it's always a home run. So I ask him, hey, can you do this? So our second overall guest was a friend of mine who's a short filmmaker named Sharif McIntosh, MC, not MAC.
Hey.
Slate, you can fix that. You can fix that one of these days on our site. That'd be okay. So Sharif finishes our show. We have a really good, and Sharif was our most listened to episode for many months. So we finish our episode with Sharif, and Sharif says, you know, Dio, it would be really cool whenever they have an announcement for the Black Panther episode is if you could have us back on and I could talk about the Black Panther. I said, you know what, Sharif, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that. You know, so, and then Hicks's episode was the most listened to ever, and Hicks had some different ideas about the Black Panther. Sharif thought that the Black Panther was Marvel's version of the Batman, and Sharif and Hicks completely disagrees with that. So my mind started thinking I might get some traction out of these two guys, and it just kind of spiraled off from there. And then we, instead of just doing it simply about the Black Panther, we wanted to expand it to black superheroes in general. There had been some stuff in the news, and it was pretty timely, especially considering some of the Sony emails and the Idris as James Bond kind of thing. And it just kind of happened. It wasn't planned out. It just kind of grew organically. We met Jack Random, DJ Jack Random, and Jack brings a lot of stuff to the table. I had a friend from Brooklyn who's as tough as nails, and she was a female, and I said, I got to get her on. I mean, you either love her or you hate her, and I love her, but she is abrasive at times, and I said, this is just solid gold if I can get her on and I can keep these folks in a direction, and I didn't keep them in any sort of direction. It was 1,000 different points at once, but after about 2.5 hours, we turned it over to Slate, and he edited it up, and it sounded like a good show when he got finished with it.
Yeah, that was kind of a cage match.
It was. The good ideas floated to the top.
They were, it was a lot more amicable than it could have been. And if there's a part two, it might get a little more spirited. There were a couple people that when it was over, they told me, you know, I really wanted to say this. I'm like, when have we ever told you to hold back? we're not about holding back. We're about discourse and frank discussion, and we want to hear what everybody thinks and says real life. You know, I was just kind of there. I was going to put some, you know, I was just going to stir the pot a little bit. I didn't need to. Those four just kind of did it on their own. I wouldn't say that there's 100% good blood there, and we might see a couple of those people again in 2015 discuss a couple other subjects that they don't quite agree on.
What I liked about it, and it's something that we've been able to do on the show several times, is we may have what seem like fairly generic questions about superheroes or movies, but they seem to get into something a little bit deeper, whether it's race relations or gay characters or female characters, or how females are portrayed, and or even females having a hard time in the entertainment industry, like we talked about with Sasha. So I think one of the great things is, you know, we dig deeper and we do things and talk about things that not a lot of other geek-oriented podcasts tend to do. But one of the things that you mentioned were the Sony leaks, Dio, and that's something that I kind of wanted to touch on a little bit. With Sony now pulling the interview, what do you think that's going to do for the entertainment industry going forward? Do you think they're going to be more careful about what they're going to be producing?
That's what we need in life, is more sanitized entertainment, more focus group sanitized entertainment. That's exactly what we need.
I heard there's a big market for PG-13 entertainment, especially in podcasting and comments. It's a big, big audience for that.
It's the death of entertainment. It's taking away someone's particular voice or idea and running it through the machine several times until it's lost everything that made it unique in the first place. So what if it offends a few people? So what?
I'm all for safe for work entertainment. I'm all for safe for work site. I also am for places where you can cut back and you can say what you want and you can do what you want. And as long as there's a sign out front that says adults only, I really don't have a problem with that. And I think it's important in a society. And I don't want to get into the political aspects of this issue. I want to get into the aspects of Sony is a fucking garbage fire. These guys are a hot mess. These are the idiots that said Denzel Washington can't sell movies. Has anybody looked at Denzel Washington's track record? Denzel Washington doesn't make bad movies, and Denzel Washington movies make a lot of money. I don't understand how, you know, Sony's not racist. Sony's just stupid. There's a difference between being a racist and just being stupid. And they're just stupid. So am I surprised by the move? I'm not, because stupid people do stupid things. And as our friend from the Shut Up Kids said so eloquently on our episode, history repeats itself. I'm disappointed somebody didn't stand up and say, hey, I'll put this damn movie out and let's see if they fly a plane into my theater. Because it wasn't going to happen.
Well, I think the only place that the interview has shown was at the Butnumathon a couple of weeks ago that a certain person from another website puts together every year.
Has he gotten around to reviewing it yet?
I actually haven't been to the site to see if he has or not.
No, I think he's hiding in a bunker somewhere.
But it just poses a whole lot of things.
Want me to call him and ask him if he's
get him on the phone right now.
Call Knowles right now. We can wait. We can put him on the show if you can get him away from his Fritos and questions.
Don't be talking about his Fritos or anything.
Oh, too late.
Don't be talking about his Fritos. Don't insult the man. Y'all hear that?
Yeah, I heard that. And that wasn't insulting. That was just a writer's perception of a person. That's all. That's how I choose to look at it.
Maybe calling it dinner time.
Anyway, do you think?
Hold on, I'm gonna leave a message.
Mailbox of 5127.
You gotta bleep that.
6 8.
It's up to Scott's show. He's gotta bleep it. Hey, Harry, this is Dio from the Supernauts. I'm looking forward to getting you on. Give me a call back at 706.
He muted it. He was smart enough to mute it.
4333. Man, I got to talk to you about being the only place in America that has played the interview. Hope you're having a good Sunday watching movies, Big Red. Talk to you soon. Sorry, didn't answer, guys.
Yeah, I heard that.
And that may be the big exclusive on Imaginarium. Dio calls Harry Knowles and talks to his answering machine.
There we go.
Yeah, you should just say, Dio calls Harry Knowles on this week's Imaginarium.
Well, I know the episode title now, When Dio Met Harry.
Well, I just called him. I didn't meet him, so.
That doesn't matter. We can do a little bit of a clickbait.
Clickbait, baby.
Get those people to come in.
Does anybody have Finn's number? I'll call Finn if you give me his number.
I just want to thank you guys for coming on. I really wanted to have you guys and just talk about the show. And I thought since we're closing out the old year and bringing in a new one, it would be a nice time to have you guys come in and talk about everything that's been going on.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. I appreciate that. Dio's going to have his agent next year, so we have to go through him to talk to Dio. So.
Sure, absolutely. They start work on January 5th.
Yeah.
But, Scott, thank you. I've been your friend for over a year online, and I'd always seen your articles and everything. And I had, I guess you could consider me a fan. And so when we thought about who we wanted on, I wanted someone professional. And I wanted someone that had a little bit of bite, a little bit of, you know, I like to call it sauce, something that we could work with, stir things up a little bit. We really had a short list. There's really only one person on that list, and we couldn't get them, so we asked you.
I was thinking the same thing.
No, really, literally, I'd ask you. If you would be interested, and you said yes, I don't know if you knew that what you were agreeing to. So me and Slate worked on this for about another week, and then I reminded you that you had agreed to do it. That's when we put you on, and it was good. And everybody has done a great job, and the format works. And I look forward to doing better and better this year. But if you truly don't have a personal beef with Mr. Hicks, when can we expect his appearance on the Imaginarium?
He's welcome on any time that I can squeeze him in.
Yeah.
I'll get him. I can probably get him on the line here in just a minute. See if he can, or at least his answer machine like I got here.
I'm not that good at my editing skills yet. So, on a serious note, though, I want to thank you two guys for involving me with the Supernauts. You know, you're two of the people who are really able to look past my insecurities and rampant assholism. I really appreciate that, and I think that we really have something that I love doing every week, and you guys really are the best. And Dio, even though we may not agree on some things, I couldn't think of a better co-host than you, and I can't think of a better moderator than Slate. You guys really are the cream of the crop. I'm just privileged to be working with you guys.
Oh, thanks, Scott.
Thank you. I appreciate you having on.
Yeah. And to show my gratitude for everything you guys have done for me over the year, I'm going to say, edit this out. Edit this out. Edit this out. Edit this out. There we go. Just to show how appreciative I am for hearing that every week.
Every single week.
Edit this out.
I'm going to keep all those edits in now. Well, and if you like the Imaginarium, check out the other shows we have on our network, including the Supernauts, the Shadow Kids podcast, and Breakfast on Planet X. There's something for everyone, and most are guaranteed to entertain. Until next time, may all your journeys be filled with pure imagination.